forgot to call you guys. Hold on a second. Can't see anyone. How do we start our morning meeting if I can't see anyone? We'll know who's there. You're there, PJ, right? I know that. We talked.
Always.
Always, always, always. Except when you're not. There's Katie. She's back. You like Katie Colbert or Katie Colbert?
I'm partial to Katie Colbert, but some members of my family like the Burt. I like the Colbert. It's a bit of a toss-up, so.
So I could really just pick?
Yeah, whatever you like, whatever suits
you. I could just name you, like having a child.
I'll take it.
Well, Katie Colbert, just, it's easier because when we see that word, that name, we think Colbert now, right?
Yeah, and I find it rolls off the tip of the tongue a little bit better than Burt, so.
I mean, and now it's a famous name.
Right.
You made it famous, of course.
Of course, it's me.
Yeah. That guy on TV must be really happy.
Yeah, his name getting a little promotion for him. You're welcome, Stephen, anytime.
You have to speak up a little bit.
Oh, sorry about that.
I think my volume wasn't very loud here either. Wow, what a treat this morning I had. My wife is out of town on business, and I got dressed with the lights on.
Wow.
That does sound exhilarating.
You wouldn't know, right, PJ?
No. I use my phone, just the flashlight's too much, so I just have to keep turning the screen on to find my shorts. And
I'm so glad you said that. That's what I do. And the screen doesn't stay on for very long, right?
No, it doesn't.
So then you keep having to tap it with your thumb to get the screen to come back on, and you're walking around the house by the light of the screen. And you're right, the flashlight, it's boom, lights up the whole house.
You guys are so kind. Men, I guess, are much kinder than women because I am brutal. I will, I'll turn on all the lights. I'll take all my time. I'll wake the dogs. I'll do whatever I have to do to get out and get ready. So screw my partner for sure.
You do? You just go through the house like Hurricane Fiona?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Making my coffee.
I wonder if that's a gender thing. PJ, you think it's because we're afraid of our wives?
100%. My wife likes her sleep, and I don't mess with that.
Beauty sleep. Gotta get
it. I watched a movie last night and with my daughter because my wife was away. So it's called Vengeance. Have you heard of this?
No.
Not a great movie. I mean, it's okay.
Was it on a streaming
PJ
service?
PJ reminded me of it. It stars PJ Novak. You know who that is?
BJ Novak.
BJ, yeah. Not PJ. You're PJ.
From The Office.
From The Office, right. And there's an opening scene with him and John Mayer, the musician. They're having a conversation at a party. And they keep using the phrase that PJ just used. 100%. And they're saying the most ridiculous stuff about life. Don't you think then that that's why women do that? 100%. Yeah, I think so too. 100%. It's a new expression. My kids use it all the time now. There's no more yes. There's no more absolutely. Everything is 100%.
I do the same. Or it's for sure, for sure. That's mine. That's my go-to.
I don't know when this started or where it started. I know this movie couldn't have started it. Because who'd heard of the movie? It had to come from somewhere else, don't you think? 100% is the answer. So I'm trying not to use it.
I heard that movie was very good as well.
It's okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't jumping up and down, phoning friends, you gotta see Vengeance! It's okay. Yeah, it's fine. I liked it well enough, but I wouldn't say it's 100%. I would say it's, 70%. But it's a story... It's a story of the making of a podcast about a missing woman. No, a dead woman. But it's really the story about fake news, misinformation, the divisions in America, all those kinds of things. So it's a little deeper than that. In a way that hit me over the head a little bit too hard. But it was okay. It was good. So you should watch it. You think you will, PJ?
Yeah,
the answer is 100%.
100%. Sorry. Yeah, you got me there. Yeah.
Catch the flow, dude. 100%. So I don't know how that's going to stay out of my vocabulary now because it really is everywhere. It's legit everywhere. 100%. So there he go.
I used to listen to a podcast where the guy would say 100%, like, and he would like really enunciate the and it drove me insane. I had to stop listening.
Well, you barely say the first word, right?
It would be 100%, not 100%.
100% or 100%, 100%. You could throw it in together, maybe. But you can't say 100%. That was just not cool. 100%, Bill. 100%.
Bill, can I ask you a question?
100%.
Friday, did we mention at all that the 174 was going to be closed?
You'd have to ask the traffic guy.
Because, like, I don't recall hearing about it. And Saturday morning, I got up and I had to go teach a class. And I was late. I left early, and it took me an hour to get from John Dark to Montreal Road, which is usually a 90-second drive. And I checked Twitter. It didn't say that it was supposed to be closed this weekend. And it's still closed right now.
I don't remember hearing it, but that doesn't mean we didn't report it. Is Connor back today doing traffic?
I'm not sure. They don't usually come in until 5:30. So I was going to ask that. But I was like, am I crazy? Did I miss this in the news?
Yeah, Katie wasn't here, so she's not
the
right
one
to ask. Let me know when Annette joins us. She might remember.
I'm here. What are you guys talking about?
You remember reporting on Friday that the 174 was going to be closed on the weekend?
Yes, on CTV Morning Live, I believe we had that a section of it was going to be closed. That does sound familiar. Rosie does traffic, but that does sound, I do remember, yes, I do remember that, I believe.
There you go. The answer, PJ, is 100%.
Maybe Connor didn't say it.
You know who could, Rosie could probably confirm it because
Well, we're more just trying to confirm if we said it on this show.
Likely.
Because TVs are hard to take with you in the car.
Do you want me to look back on emails?
Although not as hard as it used to be. It's just
100%, please do.
All right. What are we going back to Friday? Because
that's okay. Don't worry about it. I hope we had it because it sounds like it was a pretty big hassle for PJ.
It wasn't just me there. There was a lot of cars.
So you were late for your class?
Yes.
But you're the teacher, so your attitude is what? Class starts when I arrive.
No, I put a lot of passion to it. I did have a friend coming who's he's kind of a big deal, so I didn't obviously want to be late. But I left so early that I was only 15 minutes late, but I was trying to be there 45 minutes early.
Right. What were you teaching?
I teach jiu-jitsu, like grappling, submission grappling. It's where you can choke someone with your arm.
Yeah, a friend of mine took that. He said, because Bill, on TV, in the movies, people stand up and throw punches. That's not how fights usually work. And then he had some stat on it. The average street fight goes to the ground within 12 seconds. Or some number was written. Am I about right there? Isn't it something like that?
I don't know. I don't.
It is true, though. I grew up in a pretty tough part of Scotland. Saw a lot of fights, got beaten up a lot. Normally, you don't stand exchanging punches very long. Pretty quickly, you wrestle to the ground. So for self-defense, you got to learn to grapple. Am I right, PJ?
I would think so.
Yeah.
I'm looking, guys. I'm not seeing it.
Yes.
No, wait. It's taking me
PJ away. Feels vindicated now for being late.
This is the third time since I've moved to Orleans that highway's been closed. And every time I've been very extremely frustrated. One time I did know and I risked it for the biscuit. And that was just my own fault.
You know, it doesn't get enough publicity. It's an important little stretch of road that causes a lot of problems. We don't give it enough love.
Mm.
That was clearly the case on Friday. Although maybe it wasn't supposed to be closed. Maybe there's some emergency construction.
Perhaps.
Did you ever think of that, PJ, instead of blaming people?
Jeez, PJ.
No. Is there any
lashing
street
out
that doesn't have construction right now in Ottawa?
Yeah, it's true. It is, if you... I go west, right? Trying to get on the highway sometimes because Bronson's closed and at Bank it was closed. Still is, I believe. There, it can be pretty tricky. You find yourself going all the way into like Little Italy, then going to Rochester or even further up. It's a little hectic.
But Rochester's closed too.
Is it? No.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because you go off of Bronson and then usually you go like a street over to Rochester.
To go west.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't know what on ramp I'm getting on, but
because my gym is on Little Italy.
Okay.
It's frustrating. And then one time Carling was closed, and like
this feels like therapy for you suddenly, PJ.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. So Annette, is there anything going on in the news this morning? What are we going to be talking about on the show today, do you think?
Okay, let me go from my traffic emails back to the news stuff here. So, we're going to be talking certainly about what's happening in the Maritimes. Devastation there. They have confirmed that the body of a 73-year-old woman has been located. RCMP found her. It was a day after part of her home got swept away in Newfoundland. She was right on the banks of the water there, and part of the home was swept away, and she went off into the sea, and she was found. And so there is at least one death confirmed at this point, but lots of people still without power, hundreds of thousands after Fiona came in as a post-tropical cyclone, but still with hurricane strength. That was early Saturday morning. So a lot to assess there, and Anita Anand announced yesterday, the defense minister, that Canadian troops are going to be heading out east to be able to help in every and any way they can. That's certainly moving fallen trees and debris, helping getting roads up and moving again, anything else that's required. So that's one of the biggest stories that is locally. Locally in terms of Canada, another very local story here to Ontario is that bivalent booster is now available to everyone and everyone.
Oh, yeah, the crappy second-rate one that the Americans wouldn't take. I remember.
Mm.
Doc Dwork and I are talking about we're going to do a road trip down to Ogdensburg. We're going to get the real shot. The BA4 or 5, whatever it's called. The more recent one.
Oh.
You know, the one that fights the variant that's actually out there right now and not the one that will probably help a little bit. How do we get stuck with that crap, Canada? It's not right. Well, mad about that.
We're going to be talking to Dr. Vera Etches this morning about it as well. Get some more information.
Well, you ask her for me when we're getting the real one.
Okay.
And she's going to say, well, we think this one will still help. And yeah, I know, but you know what would have helped more? The better one. That's what would have helped. I'm just worried now we're not going to be in a hurry to get that one. Because luckily, I mean, if there's any good news is that it's still Omicron and we don't have another variant now that's totally different. So this vaccine might be very effective. And I'm wondering too, because I got the fourth shot, but it's just the initial one. So how long do I have to wait now till I get, well, I'm not getting this one. This one I'm skipping. This latest.
When did you get your fourth?
Easter.
So you're about 6 months almost ish.
Oh, sorry, not Easter. When did I get it? It's about a month and a half.
Well, Easter's longer than that. So in the middle of the summer?
Yeah, Easter's when I got COVID. That's why I have that written down.
Oh, okay.
Shot, COVID, shot.
You got a shot after COVID. Okay. Well, you might need to wait a bit more.
August,
you might need to wait a bit more anyways.
Yeah, but, I mean, is there any harm in not waiting? I'm going to ask Dr. Workin about that as we plan our road trip to Ogdensburg to get the real vaccine.
It's recommended at an interval of 6 months from your previous dose or at a minimum interval of 3 months, regardless of how many booster doses you have received.
Minimal. Wait 3 months minimal.
Minimal. So you haven't quite been that much, right?
Yeah, but, you know, I've seen the wastewater numbers.
Yeah.
If Dr. Dworkin wants to hit the road this week, I'll go this week. If he says it's okay, I'm going to do it.
Give me the shot.
You don't want the U.S. one?
I had the bivalent last week, actually.
No, but you didn't get the U.S. bivalent one.
I got the one that was available to me.
Yeah.
And I was surprised because I'm not in the group of, you know, people that were able to get it initially as what was announced. But when I showed up, I just happened to ask if I was getting a Pfizer or a Moderna, because I wanted to know how sick I was going to get. The Moderna made me quite sick the last time. And
yeah, Moderna, that packs a punch.
It did. And she said, oh, you're getting the, I think it was called the Moderna B for my Moderna. And I said, oh, the bivalent. She's like, oh, yeah, we have them
I'm
now.
Calling it the Moderna C for crappy.
Oh, come on now. No. No, it's still going to help. I mean, I haven't.
It's going to help, but you know what's going to help more? The bivalent that the U.S. is giving.
Sure.
Which is more updated. I think it's atrocious. What's more atrocious, I think the media is not screaming about this.
Yeah.
You know, our country made a decision. The U.S. said to the vaccine makers, we don't want this bivalent one. We've moved on from BA 1 and 2. We want the BA 4 and 5.
Mm-hmm.
And so they said, fine, okay. And that's what they shipped to the U.S. And we're taking the lesser one. It makes no sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's appalling. Now, if that's all I could get, of course I'd take it. Because I took the one that's not even the bivalent.
Mm-hmm.
Earliest one available, for sure. But now, with no travel restrictions into the U.S., why wouldn't I just go there? 30-minute drive. Walk into a pharmacy. Get the good one. It's too bad. And I'm just worried it's going to delay Canada receiving the more current bivalent. Because we're going to use the ones we have. It's just, it makes me really angry.
You're sure on that, eh? That it's the beef?
100%.
Because, okay.
Absolutely. We've been misreporting this from day one. Because when it was the Canadian bivalent one was approved, we said, following the U.S. one being approved 24 hours ago. Yeah, but the U.S. one was a different bivalent.
Well, I'm reading.
And, I mean, it was reported, obviously, because I mean, it's like no one came to me and told me personally that happened. It was there buried in the details, but it's a detail that we needed to do a better job bringing to light.
They're saying, though.
We collectively, I mean, the media.
Yeah. I mean, I did an interview last week, or perhaps the week before, and which is why I'm trying to confirm this, because I'm looking also at some of our reports. And the Associate Medical Officer of Health in Toronto was saying, and I believe this is what I was told last week, although it's Monday morning, forgive me, my brain can't quite remember that far back at this moment, that this new Omicron subvariant, they're saying is still going to provide good protection against BA5 and BA4.
Yes, but not as good as the one that's designed
if it had
specifically
the strain
for BA4 and 5.
Well, they're saying BA1, BA4, BA5, that it will protect against all. I mean,
what they're actually saying is it will provide some
protection. Yeah. I mean, that, yeah, which is better than, I mean, you're making it sound like, what's the point?
No, my point is, why would Canada not bring in the most recent?
The most recent, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think we deserve that as much as Americans do.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like they'll take it anyway, right?
I mean, if it's going to protect me, if they're telling me it's going to protect me as well, even if it doesn't have the strain in it, but they say it's as good as gold to protect me against BA4 and 5, what's out there now? Okay. I mean, my third one was in January, so I was not going to wait any longer. And I wanted to be able to get it with enough time to be able to get a flu shot, which start arriving next month and the month after. So I wanted to give a couple weeks between those.
Yeah, I just confirmed it here again. Another one. Half Omicron, BA4, BA5 is the American one. Ours is, so it's.
What does it say about ours that you're seeing?
Ours is the BA1 and 2.
One and two.
Yeah.
But does it say anything about being able to give a good immune response, like fight BA4 and BA5?
Yeah, but it doesn't do as good a job as the one, obviously. It's not going to do as good a job against BA4 and BA5 as one that's specifically made for it,
mm-hmm.
right? Because the BA4, BA5 bivalent has more of the same proteins.
Mm-hmm.
So now if BA1 and BA2 makes a comeback, ours will be better than theirs, but why would that happen? It's already been wiped out, right? That's not what's out there, is my point.
Yeah.
We've got a vaccine that's tailored to BA1 and 2,
mm-hmm.
which is now gone. And it will help a little with BA4 and 5, but the Americans have one specifically designed for BA4 and 5.
Let me know how that trip down south goes. You're
going
to go
get
it?
We're going.
Yeah.
Doc and I, we're on the road. Thank you, Annette.
You got it.
Rosie's here. Good morning.
Good morning, Bill.
It's frustrating because I feel like I'm the crazy one in the media talking about BA4 and 5.
Well,
but it's really true. They have a different bivalent than we do.
Yeah. And you've always, you followed the poop and you've been closely monitoring all that goes on pertaining to COVID-19. I remember you were the first one out here on our show talking about the poop and what the numbers say. So
according to the American Medical Association, this new American version specifically targets BA4 and BA5 variants. that are here now and circulating. The bivalent vaccine broadens antibody response. That's not the vaccine we're giving out right now.
No.
For sure. What do we say, PJ? 100%.
Oh, 100%.
100%. That was quite a storm out east, huh?
That it really was. Assessment is still underway. And, you know, for most of Atlantic Canada, they're looking at the potential for severe thunderstorms. But Tropical Depression Fiona has since moved out. It's been absorbed by an upper trough, and so it's moved out. It's no longer threatening Atlantic Canada. But boy, oh boy, Bill, what incredible damage folks out there have sustained. The cleanup is going to be, it's going to be a long time coming. And as I said today, they are looking at severe thunderstorm possibility. So it's not over yet.
Man, oh man. But what is it going to be like here?
Well, here we'll get a little bit of rain today and the risk of an afternoon thunderstorm. So we got some unsettled weather to look forward to for the first couple of days of this week. Temperatures right around seasonal today, 17, tomorrow 16, your high. Again, looking at the risk of a thunderstorm and then chance of showers on Wednesday. So mostly cloudy, wet, somewhat gloomy, a little bit, you might get some active weather in the form of a thunderstorm for Monday and Tuesday, and then looking at the potential slight chance of rain on Wednesday. So it's one of those, it's very typical fall for us, where you've got the gloom, you've got the wet weather, at least temperatures are right on target. They start to dip a little bit by the time we get to midweek. And then finally on Thursday, we get a look at the sun and we get some sunshine and a high of 14 degrees. So I would say nowhere near as dramatic weather as out east. But keep the umbrella handy for today, right through to Wednesday.
Yeah, yeah. I had a feeling.
Mm-hmm. It's one of those, you know.
Given what they're dealing with out east, I'm not going to complain.
Exactly. I mean, you know, sustained winds at times over the weekend, Bill, well over 100 clicks per hour.
Wonder why that poor woman was still in her house right on the beach.
I know, got
that.
Swept out. It's just, yeah, I know.
You know, maybe that she was out of touch with what was going on.
Maybe didn't realize the severity of what was headed her way and thought, well, you just hunker down, right? You buy some groceries and you stay home, but no.
Yeah, when you're right on the beach, right or close to water, it, you got to move inland.
Yeah.
Because it's amazing how much less the punch is. If
as
you're even
move further in
a few blocks in,
you get
away from the storm surge, you know, the water coming in.
Because that's
what happened to those houses. The water comes in and floats them.
And that's it.
And they're that's it. Yeah, they just fall apart. Crazy.
I know.
Thank you, Rosie.
You're welcome.
5:31, The Morning Rush, Morning Meeting, live at 5.
It's The Morning Rush, live at 5.
5:55, Katie Colbert back after a couple of days convalescing. No one uses the word convalescing anymore, but I'm happy you're back. You look good. You sound fine.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm feeling 100%. So
100%.
Yeah, I'm feeling good. 100%.
100%. 100%.
Yeah, so while I was off, actually, Bill, did you know that yesterday was National One-Hit Wonder Day? Were you aware of that?
I listened to Dexy's Midnight Runner all day long. Does that tell you anything?
Oh, interesting.
Come on, Eileen. And what was the other? And I would walk 500 miles. There's another one hit. One
yeah,
hit.
You got a couple in your pocket there.
Band. I got a few. No, I didn't know that.
Okay, well, it was news to me as well yesterday while I was trying to find an interesting trending. And it was all over my TikTok, a bunch of songs people were trying to replay and get back out there and come up with those questions why they never came up with anything else. So today I thought it'd be kind of fun to play a little game, if you don't mind, Bill, later on in the day when we have trending. I'm going to see if you can, you know, either guess the title of the song or the artist or the year or anything like that.
A music quiz.
Yeah, a little music quiz for the one hit wonder.
As long as there's nothing in there from the 80s because it was a dark time for music and I turned the radio off for 10 years.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah, no, don't worry. I will give you that hint right now. There is nothing from the 80s in that section. But
I might be able to get a few then.
Yeah, maybe. Well, we'll have some teaser ones here for you, some practice questions. So we'll cue these ones now.
I'm too sexy for your party. Too sexy for your party. The way I'm disco dancing. I'm a model. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I know the song, but I forget who did it.
See, exactly. This is going to be the test, right? So it's actually Wright Sanford. So I didn't know his name either.
Whatever happened to him?
Exactly. Got to find out. So we have a couple of those coming up where we'll be able to test your knowledge to see, you know, I'll go easy.
Too sexy for my shirt.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we'll be able to test your knowledge to see if you know the artist, the song title, or the year that
Isn't
it came out.
Isn't that an 80s song, though?
No, actually. I'm just trying to... These are my teaser ones.
I warned you. 80s.
I know, I know. That's fair enough. But these ones are my teasers. No, this one came out in 1992.
Really?
I'm Too Sexy. Yeah, the original mix.
That song says 80s written all over it.
I know, I know.
1992, though, was practically...
On the cusp, on the cusp. I'll say that that is the closest it gets. And these are just teaser ones, so I wasn't going too hard on you. But I can say
I always thought his name was Right Side Fred. So I'm very shocked to learn that it's Right Said Fred.
Yeah. Well, maybe I'm saying it wrong, but...
No, it's Right Said Fred.
Yeah.
I looked it up now that we're talking.
Yeah. See, the more you know, and you're getting... These names are getting back out there.
Can PJ help me with this quiz? Because he's a DJ.
For sure. I actually didn't write the song titles in the description for PJ, so if he wants to play, he totally can. It'll be a fun little competition and see who can get them.
Curveball from Katie today. All right.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm feeling...
Cheer me up a little on a Monday.
Yeah, I'm trying to get back in the swing of things, do something a little more creative, so I'm pretty pumped.
All right, sounds good. That's what's trending coming up 2 hours from now. That's it for the morning meeting. We got to go here. The 6 o'clock news is coming up, and then we will get rolling more officially here, the Morning Rush. We're live at 5, weekday mornings, Monday to Friday.
I'm too sexy for my love. Too sexy for my love. Love's going to leave me.
This is the Morning Rush with Bill Carroll on News Talk 580 CFRA. Share your opinion now. Text us at 580-580. Please include your name and where you're texting from. Standard text rates may apply.
I'm too sexy for my shirt.
Wow, rough weekend in Canada's Atlantic provinces. Whew. Hurricane Fiona came ashore. Not quite a hurricane anymore as it landed, but... Landed hard nonetheless. At least one woman in her 70s has been found after being missing. Her body's been found. Could have been a lot worse. Atlantic storms have in the past killed hundreds of people, but those were in the days before we had long, drawn-out warnings, before weather forecasting allowed people to get their ships ashore or out to sea where they might be safer. And interesting about boats, a decision you have to make. Do you stay in dock? Or do you go out and anchor somewhere at sea and ride it out? It's usually safer for big ships to go out to sea and just ride it out instead of being crashed up against the shoreline. Anyway, it was just unbelievable to watch. The Emergency Preparedness Minister, Bill Blair, says time is of the essence now. The Canadian Armed Forces are getting ready to go. They're in recovery mode, and it's going to be tough.
The Canadian Armed Forces and Transport Canada assets will be deployed to conduct aerial imagery and assessment so that we can get a better sense of the damage that has been experienced in the province. Canadian Armed Forces personnel will also conduct physical impact assessments and support the local authorities in their efforts to ensure the well-being of affected residents.
I mean, I keep thinking back to our derecho, if that's how you pronounce it. I keep hearing it pronounced different ways. But when we had that line of intense storms that came through, when it came past our house, it was an epic 3 minutes where you had winds that were incredibly high, like close to hurricane force in areas. Look at the damage it did to our city. Now imagine that pounding coming for hours. So it's no surprise there are going to be power outages there. Well, that will probably last weeks. We had that here in Ontario. Mostly it's days, but... Yeah, it could be weeks in many communities. Southwestern Newfoundland and Labrador taking stock of the damage there. Public Safety Minister John Hogan says the province will rebuild, but safety is still the main focus as of yesterday anyway.
As traumatic and devastating as it must be to lose a family home, some homes which I'm sure have been in families for more than one or two or maybe three generations, all your belongings, everything you have has been washed out to sea. We can rebuild and we can replace those things, but you can't repair and replace the lost life.
So as the show unfolds this morning, we're going to talk to some people out there. And we've got a great guy that I follow on social media. He's a storm chaser. And I often watch this guy chasing tornadoes through Ontario. Anyway, Katie managed to track him down. He's going to talk to us a little bit about why this storm was so intense, what was so unusual about it, because this is a, well, we hope, once-in-a-lifetime kind of generational storm that hit the East Coast. Also, we're going to talk to someone, she's going to try very hard, former National Post reporter who lives now on the East Coast. She's agreed to try to talk to us. She's going to join us after the 8 o'clock news, but she has to find a reliable place to get cell coverage. She said she'll drive around looking for a spot because we want to kind of firsthand look at what it was like on the ground there. So we're working on that. We should have more information as the morning unfolds. Well, the good news is the group occupying the St. Bridget's Church in Lower Town for weeks and weeks is gone. They were evicted, and this time they left. The United People of Canada officially have left the building. After failing to pay $10,000 in rent, $100,000 in purchase payments, and a long, drawn-out court battle, I mean, not compared to some court battles that could take years, but still, for an eviction, it took a while, the keys to the former St. Bridget's Church are back in the hands of the owner. The decision came down late on Friday, so we'd have a chance to talk about it on this show. And the group started to pack up almost immediately. Members of the group saying, this time they'll comply.
We don't know exactly the details of those orders. We do know there was an order against us. It's our understanding it's being finalized. So there hasn't been, to my knowledge, like a date and time to be out. But we understand they were asking for it to be pretty soon. So we're just assuming it's as quickly as we can get out of here. So unless we hear otherwise, that's what we're doing.
People around the world, including here in Ottawa, still reacting to the death of Mahsa Amini, a Kurdish woman who was killed after being taken into custody by the morality police. They would have you believe that a young, healthy woman died of a heart attack in their custody. She was wearing, allegedly, her hijab too loosely, just 22 years old. So the outrage is being felt around the world, including here in Ottawa, the Iranian community, one woman cutting off portions of her hair in front of hundreds of demonstrators downtown. MPP Goldie Gamari joined the crowd to raise awareness about the unfolding crisis there. Here's what she had to say.
My name is Goldie Gamari. I'm an Iranian Canadian. I'm also a member of Parliament for the government of Ontario. It is an honor to join other Iranian Canadians here today and Canadians, people from all across the world, who are standing up and speaking out and being a voice for the people of Iran. Hadis is another example. Hadis was protesting her rights in Iran. And last night, she was murdered. The police shot her six times just because she was protesting like us on the streets in Iran. Shame on the terrorists. An illegitimate Islamic regime in Iran.
Just terrible stories about that. And incredible courage, too, for people to stand up and protest in Iran, knowing what could happen to you if you do. Goldie Gamari, the MPP from Ontario, our local MPP, one of our local MPPs here in the capital region, is going to join us after the 7 o'clock news to talk a little bit more about her feelings about this, which you can hear are pretty strong and pretty clear. Better news, runners from across the province turned out on a cool September morning, raised $475,000 for youth mental health. Steve Reed, the acting president of the CHEO Foundation, says mental health resources have been strained for years, and the issue was only made worse by the pandemic.
We've seen a real increase in depression and eating disorders and other forms of mental health that just have been an unfortunate consequence of the pandemic on top of what was already a growing service need. So, again, this is why this event is so important.
Hey, if you're over 18, you can now get access to the bivalent vaccine, the latest COVID vaccine that Canada has purchased. It's not the latest COVID vaccine available, though. And I think we need to make some noise about this. I don't know why Health Canada didn't do what the FDA did in the U.S. and give as a bivalent. The bivalent we're getting in Canada includes the original strain of COVID plus a new version of the vaccine tailored specific to Omicron 1 and 2, which is no longer circulating. The Americans said, it's no longer circulating. We don't want that vaccine. BA4 and 5 is what's circulating. We want a vaccine that's tailored to that. And that's what they got. So their bivalent vaccine is not the same as our bivalent vaccine. Health Canada's argument at the time was, well, we wanted more complete testing, and that hadn't been done on BA4 and 5. What the Americans accepted was a vaccine that was tested the same way the flu shot is every year. It's basically the same vaccine. There's no point in putting it through the same paces that the other vaccines did. It doesn't require the same level of testing, was the FDA's opinion, not mine. And so Americans are getting, that we're getting a vaccine that is a little better than the original one. The Americans are getting one that's even better than that. And I'm wondering how long we're going to have to wait to have access to the latest version, because it's, we don't know where this virus is going next. But it's more likely to evolve from the current dominant strain than it is to evolve from a strain that's already come and gone. That's just common sense. So, would I go get this vaccine if I had no other choice? Yes, it's probably better than no vaccine at all, better than the original vaccine, but it's not as good as the American vaccine. So, maybe you ought to ask your family physician if a trip to the U.S. is in order, because that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to drive 30 minutes down the road to Ogdensburg and get the latest vaccine. Not the one that our government decided was good enough for us, but not good enough for the U.S. 6:15, the morning rush.
This is the Morning Rush with Bill Carroll on News Talk 580 CFRA. Be a part of the conversation. Text us at 580-580. Please include your name and where you're texting from. Standard text rates may apply.
So you can go out and vote already in the municipal elections. Man, oh man, that's leaving me cold, I have to tell you. Whew. There is no more important election than a municipal one. And there's no election that people seem to care less about than the municipal one. This is the level of government that delivers the services that really affect your life in an everyday kind of way. We have too many, well, certainly in this city, but this is typical. It was the same thing when I lived in Toronto as well. You get these really left-leaning, you know, socialist council members, and they want, what they really want is to be members of parliament, but this is their starting ground. And so they're always looking to get themselves involved in big pictures. You know, we're going to come up with a plan to save the environment. We're going to declare a climate emergency, right? And they make a big deal out of it. Like the city of Ottawa with 1 million people could do anything. I love that, PJ. Play that again. It's a climate emergency. Right? As if we could make any difference at all in a worldwide climate emergency. Anyway, it's annoying and it's sickening. But just tell me what you're going to do to run the city. So you can start voting today, and you can go online and find out where. But I saw a story on the CTV News website this morning that Mark Sutcliffe is vowing to cut recreational fees for kids. He's elected mayor. That's fine. That's a cute little issue. But it reminded me of a conversation I had on the weekend with a friend who is, well, I'll give you some background on him. He's going to remain anonymous here. But long-serving member of the Conservative Party, intends to vote for Mark Sutcliffe. He's been involved in many campaigns at every level, and he's very connected within political circles. And he is furious with Mark Sutcliffe. And what he said made absolute sense, because I've been thinking the same thing. Why is Mark Sutcliffe constantly two steps behind the, from what I hear, the front runner in the campaign, who is a socialist left-wing member of council, whose ideas are all about bike lanes and 5 years worth of bike lanes or 1,000 years worth of bike lanes built in 5 minutes, whatever the campaign is. Why is Mark Sutcliffe always reacting to that? And he has a good point. Mark Sutcliffe may lose this election. And if you have more mainstream or conservative values, then you need to be concerned about that. And somebody in his campaign office has to wake up. He's got to take the lead here. He's got to come out ahead, more than just recreational fees for kids. He's got to become aggressive. He has to start warning us about the dangers of another. Look at the council we just got rid of. Thankfully, a lot of them have resigned. But are we going to just replace them by the same old kinds of people? At least Jim Watson was somewhat centrist. Do we want to move the city further in that direction? In 2022, do you really want to build more bike lanes? Do you want to obsess about these kinds of issues? These social issues about... I don't. I want someone to focus on the budget, focus on safety and policing, all things Mark Sutcliffe is saying, but he does need to be much more aggressive and clear about his plans. And he has to be clear about the dangers of a socialist council. We can't afford it. So, Mark, we want to vote for you, but you wake up, be passionate. Tell us why. Tell us why we need to vote for someone who has more moderate views. That's the problem with when you need a moderate, though. You get a moderate. Mark has always been kind of a centrist guy, easy come, easy go. We need him to stand up because we are not headed in a good direction in this city from what I can see and from what insiders who back him are seeing. So I hope that they're getting that message in the next few weeks because people are starting to vote already. It may already be too late. Thing about negative campaigning is people say they don't like it, but it works. Sometimes you just have to remind people of where we're headed and how dangerous that could be for the city. You all know who I'm talking about here. 6:28, The Morning Rush.
Best binges.
I'm already cooked.
What will you be watching?
How about a little something from down under? Made by the water. Water. It's the only word I can say with an Australian accent. I love an Australian accent. But I've been watching Disney Plus and an Australian television drama series, which is not technically a British police procedural. It's right next door to a British police procedural, but it is not really that. The show is called Harrow.
Do I know you?
Daniel Harrow. I work with the coroner's office.
No, no, why aren't you working? You're being paid to complete an autopsy.
I heard about you when I was still in Melbourne. You like to get involved.
You don't listen. You conceded. Shaving skills are lacking. You're a loose cannon.
Tell him about his daughter's dance recital 9 times and he still misses it.
Ooh.
Well, it's definitely not suicide.
Have you seen this? Adult male pulled from the river, set in concrete.
You'd love it.
Do I want this? No. Do I want to flick it to homicide? Yes. Can I? No.
No. No. All right, so this is kind of interesting. I don't know if you've observed this over the years, but when you watch police shows, if the main characters are uniformed police, everyone else is an idiot, right? The homicide investigators are idiots. The coroner, the scientists are idiots. Only the police officer on the beat knows how to solve these crimes. If, however, the show centers on the detectives, the guy on the beat is like, put the yellow tape over there and shut up. Right? Go ask some questions of the neighbors. Then you never see the guy in the uniform again. And then the coroner comes in and they just nod their head at them. It's just a guy wearing, you know, a white hazmat suit, got a camera. They take some pictures. There might be a scene at the coroner's office when they're opening up the body and searching inside. Take a look at this. But that's usually just to show that the new detective, who's the partner of the old detective, gets a little faint and maybe vomits when they're there. If, on the other hand, the show's about the coroner, then everybody else is an idiot. The uniformed police officers, the homicide investigators, only the coroner could do the real police work. It's not enough for them to say, oh, he's got a knife in the back of his in the back of his chest, and it punctured his heart. He died because of a puncture wound in his heart. No, the coroner has to solve the crime, has to get to the bottom of it, and that's what happens here. The coroner, a man with a dark past and a big secret, which takes the full season to really unfold. Every week, there are 10 episodes in season one. Every week is a new crime to be solved. But at the same time, there's the overarching mystery of what the coroner, Harrow, Dr. Harrow, is hiding. He's played by someone whose face you'll know, if not the name, Lone Gruffudd. Does that sound familiar? Do you remember the TV show? It was on for a long time. Horatio Hornblower. Anyway, he's starred in that. So it's actually a show that over three seasons gets a little better because it seems to stop taking itself quite as seriously. And there's some really good laughs in it. I particularly like the sergeant, who of course is an idiot and never knows what he's doing. And the coroner has to set him right. But the guy who plays that role has a really great little tongue-in-cheek way of dealing with things and taking the coroner on. So I like the characters. I think the acting is great, except the star. He's a bit of a ham actor. He always has, when he's sad or upset, this semi-crying voice that goes on, "I was just trying to help." It kind of gets on my nerves a little bit. My wife didn't like him when I said that. Shut up, I like this show. I like it too. But I don't think that they could have found someone a little better than him.
He's Reed Richards in Fantastic Four.
He was in Fantastic Four as well, right.
That's the only
Is
thing
he
I
a ham over actor in that?
Yeah, well, that movie kind of sucked, but yeah.
So that's my only issue with it. I think his acting is like a 6 out of 10, and the show's more like a 7 or an 8. So the show is a little better than he is, although he certainly has some charisma. They could maybe take him out of the same denim shirt that he wears episode after episode after episode, season after season after season. Like, even I have a bigger wardrobe than that guy, and I don't have a lot of stuff. Well, I have a lot of stuff, but I just wear whatever's on top. Then you launder it, put it back on top, just keep wearing that. I think that's what he does. One of my favorite things is, though, he lives on the water, on a boat that never goes out onto the ocean. But I love boats, and I'd like to live on a boat one day. So that's one of my favorite parts, is the scenery. And Queensland is just gorgeous. So it's worth a look. Don't know if there's going to be a fourth season or not. The first two seasons ended with very obvious cliffhangers. The third was tied up in a nice little bow. It rated well, though, in Australia. And there is some talk that it might be back. But Disney Plus, three seasons, 30 episodes for your enjoyment. It's called Harrow. About Dr. Daniel Harrow. And the secret, by the way, that he was keeping all throughout season one is that I'm going to do that. You were looking at me, Katie, like, oh, okay, tell me. No, I'm not going to ruin it for you.
Spoiler alert.
Either of you guys watch anything?
Yeah, I watched a little on Netflix, The Instant Dream Home. Have you seen any of that, Bill?
No.
It's kind of a super interesting and weird topic. BJ and I were talking about it this morning, that they take over somebody's home without them knowing. They have like an accomplice that sets them up and puts their application in. And then they completely renovate the home from the backyard, the front yard, the exterior, the interior, every room, adding on new rooms, all in 12 hours before.
Okay, you don't know me well enough to know that I hate reality shows.
Oh, see, I'm a sucker.
Unless there's a house being renovated and or sold.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
I love it.
There you go. I've met my target there. Yeah, so we have a little bit of a clip from it. It's super interesting. Let's give it a try.
All right, team, let's move in.
We are about to transform a whole house in one day. Who does that? We do.
You gotta give it better than that.
Let's go, guys. Let's go.
It's gonna be amazing.
So much work to get.
I know, I'm freaking out, but I'm also excited. Oh my gosh!
I look at the house. Am I at right block?
Are you ready to see your house?
Yeah, so they take in a lot of people that have done a lot for the community. Danielle Brooks is the host, I want to say, I guess the best name for it. She was in Orange is the New Black. She played Tasty. I don't know if you watched that, but she's funny. She's awesome. She gives some comedy relief when it gets really stressful because they're trying to remake a whole house in 12 hours from 7 to 7. But yeah, no, it's super interesting. Leaves me on the edge of my seat, and the home rentals are stunning. They're quite beautiful.
I don't know what it is with me and anything to do with home rentals. Back in the early days when PBS in the U.S. was the only one doing with this old house, you remember that at all?
Yeah, totally.
Loved that show. And if people are shopping for homes, like people I've never met before are in a country that I'll probably never visit looking for a house, and I'm all in. Like you see three different houses, and I'm saying, you got to go to house number two. Why is he compromising with her? He said he would never live in a house without a garage, and he's compromising. This is not going to go well. Then at the end, they show you 3 months later in the new house, and you could tell he's like, yeah, I'm really happy I compromised because this is great. But he's not. It's not great. He wants a divorce. It's going to end that way a year down the road if they follow it up. What's that called? House Hunters International. Love it. You get to see foreign lands. Also, though, really interesting to me is what passes as a family home in different countries. Like you'll see these houses, it has a little half fridge. And you're thinking, where are you going to put all your stuff? You don't even forget a beer fridge in the garage. You got a little half fridge. Well, they go shopping every day. They go to the market. They don't have, you think, I couldn't live like that. Or no bath in the house. I don't use a bath, but you got to have a bath. Where are you going to bathe the dog? No showers in some houses. People seem okay with that. It's crazy but it's what you grow up with. It's what you're used to. Okay, good advice. You thought I wasn't going to go well when I said I don't like reality shows. But that's the exemption is the house renovation or purchase exemption. It's rule number 5B for Bill's best binge watches. It's the Morning Rush.
This is the Morning Rush with Bill Carroll on News Talk 580 CFRA. Share your opinion now. Text us at 580-580. Please include your name and where you're texting from. Standard text rates may apply.
I want someone to love me. I need.
Number of women, not entirely women, but a number of women, took to the street in Ottawa as they did around the world to protest the death of a Kurdish woman, just 22 years old, who died while in the custody of the morality police in Iran, detained for simply wearing her hijab too loosely. That has sparked outrage, as it should. And courageous women, even in Iran, are taking to the streets in putting themselves at great risk. It's a really remarkable thing that's going on here. Progressive Conservative MPP for Carlton, Golden Gamari, was one of the people at that protest, and she spoke very passionately yesterday and is on the line right now. Good morning.
Good morning, Bill. How are you?
I'm fine. This has really been quite a story that's unfolding in Iran, isn't it? But not entirely shocking. It seemed inevitable something like this was going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, this is unfortunately not new for Iran. The people of Iran have been protesting the Islamic regime for years. I think this is the first time that it's starting to receive sort of this global, worldwide coverage. And I think part of that is because this time around, you're seeing images of women in Iran spearheading these protests, leading these protests and joining the men. Typically in previous years, it was mostly the young men, but now women are taking off their hijab in front of the morality police. They're burning their hijabs on the street. They're risking their lives, and they're rising up, and men and women are united, and they're fighting for their freedom.
I know that you were born in Iran. Do you have much contact there still, family, friends? What's your relationship ongoing with the country?
So yeah, I was born there, came here when I was a year old. My immediate family is here. I don't really I don't have any friends in Iran because all my friends are here. Don't really keep in touch too much with family or my extended family. And part of the reason is because for Iranians who live outside of Iran, it's very difficult and dangerous to speak up. Because a lot of times the Iranian regime can and will use family members who are still in Iran as hostages to control people outside of Iran. So that's why I don't have any ties with anyone in Iran, and I'm able to speak up and speak out against this.
You must feel a real kinship with these women, though, who were like you, born in a country. We have no control over where we're born. It's a lottery. Some of us are born into lucky countries, some not so much. But you must compare your own life and the freedoms that you have here and the fact that you can have a political career and look at women like you, your age, and how different their life is.
Absolutely. And that's exactly it. And that's why I always say I'm so proud of living in Canada and being Canadian. I mean, my parents immigrated here because they wanted to raise their daughters in a free and democratic society. And like you said, it's a lottery. Women in Iran are dying for the same rights. And, you know, some people have said, well, you know, you're an Ontario politician. This isn't, you know, your fight. This is not our business. Iran is one of the biggest state sponsors of terror in the world. They have global operations. They even have a reach in Canada. And, you know, there was a reason that Stephen Harper shut down the Iranian embassy. I believe it was back in 2012. And that was because at that time, the Canadian government finally had proof of the fact that the embassy was nothing but a nest of spies, which is something that the Iranian community had known all along. But it was just very great to see the Canadian government back then take decisive action to at least limit and minimize the extent and control that the Islamic regime has in other countries.
I'm a little surprised that people would criticize you for being a member of provincial parliament and speaking out. You're also a human being, and a human being with ties to the country where this is happening, and you're a woman. I don't know. I feel like you have access to a microphone that few have. You must feel morally obligated to say something.
Absolutely, especially since, Bill, the illegitimate and terrorist Islamic regime in Iran, they've shut down the internet. They've made it very hard for people in Iran to communicate what's going on and to share their stories. So, you know, for someone like me who has a platform and who can be their voice and share these stories, that's so important, because the last time, 2 years ago, when the regime shut down the internet, 1,500 people were murdered. I've also shared a video explaining how the regime is using ambulances to make mass arrests. And then taking those people into police stations. So, you know, this is how messed up the regime is. They're taking government resources that should be used for healthcare and using that to arrest people who are protesting for freedom.
Where have you shared that video so I can tell people?
I believe it's on my Twitter. It's on Instagram. It's on my TikTok. Actually, my TikTok is blowing up, which is really interesting, because when I got TikTok 2 years ago during COVID, it was kind of just like a hobby during the pandemic. And then last week, I made a video about what was happening in Iran, sharing some very sensitive, but, you know, like sensitive videos, and sensitive in the sense that they're very violent. It's basically videos of the morality police dragging screaming young women into vans and cars, be taken away to God knows where. And these women are screaming and fighting and trying to escape, and they're being beaten. I shared that video, and within 12 hours, it had over 200,000 views. So I shared another one, and that had over 700,000 views. And ever since then, I've just been making videos about what's going on, answering people's questions and explaining the situation. The most recent video that I posted actually this morning, and I believe it already has over, I don't even know now, like 50,000 views. And that was just something I posted maybe 2 hours ago. It's a video clip of a young woman who is sitting beside her brother's grave. Her brother was murdered in the protest just recently. He was one of the people that was fighting out against the regime after the brutal murder of Mahsa Amini. This young man was murdered by riot police, and his sister is sitting over his grave, crying and cutting her hair. Iranian women have been showing their solidarity by cutting their hair as a way to protest against the regime. And this is just such a heartbreaking video, but you know, people see, I think people need to really see what's going on to understand the depth and depravity of this regime.
Thanks, Goldie. We haven't spoken in a while. Shame it's under these circumstances, but I admire you for speaking up in this situation. If not you, then who?
Well, thank you. I appreciate that very much, Bill. And thank you to you for taking the airtime to share this with everyone.
Progressive Conservative MPP for Carlton, Goldie Gamari. Morning Rush, Bill Carroll.
This is the Morning Rush with Bill Carroll on News Talk 580 CFRA. Share your opinion now. Text us at 580-580. Please include your name and where you're texting from. Standard text rates may apply.
Hurricane hit Atlantic Canada on the weekend. A lot of severe damage. Going to take a very long time to clean it up. Mark Robinson is a severe weather expert, educator, storm chaser based out of Toronto. I love this guy. As soon as there's a thunderstorm in the forecast, I go straight to his Twitter. Don't even know if he knows I follow him, but I just think it's awesome to watch him standing in a windstorm and chasing down potential tornadoes. It's great to have you on the show, Mark. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. And I didn't know you were a follower. Now I'm going to have to really step up my game.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, you're doing a pretty good job. Are you a crazy person? The rest of us are running away from these storms all summer, and you chase them.
Yeah, I mean, at the Weather Network, we're always trying to make sure that our audience has as much information as possible to keep people safe, because we do end up with some significant severe weather here in southern Ontario, and especially in the Ottawa region lately, actually.
Well, yeah, you don't have to tell us that. I was out of power here for about 5 days.
Yeah, and it's just one of those things. I'm going to just potentially move to Ottawa and just chase the storms there.
Yeah, but you don't have to chase them. They come to you.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that a function of the fact that we're in a valley? What is it about this area that seems to get hit harder, especially just north of the river in Gatineau? The storms always seem more severe there to me.
Well, it's actually, in southern Ontario, we have the Great Lakes, and those Great Lakes have a big influence on our summer, even our winter severe weather. And so there's a bit of we call lake breeze front that can be just north of Ottawa or in Ottawa. And the storms tend to sort of fire along that front, and that's why we're getting them. But we are seeing a bit of a shift towards the east. So Ottawa and eastern Ontario may see more and more severe thunderstorms.
I imagined as I was watching coverage from Atlantic Canada that it was like the derecho that we had earlier in the summer, where at our home, it was 3 minutes of intense wind, and when it was over, well, we saw the devastation. I'd imagine it was sort of like that, but for hours. Is that a good way to think of it?
That's a great way to think of it, actually. I was comparing a lot of the damage that I saw once the sort of storm had died down. We were able to drive around to Lewisburg just a little bit. You know, whole forest just smashed, buildings torn up. There was a big storm surge, but it was really that wind that reminded me so much of the derecho event that we had in May. And it's just only much, 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 much larger in scale. And we're talking about basically damage from Halifax all the way out to the very tip of Cape Breton and to Port of Basque in Newfoundland.
What made this storm so dangerous? I kept hearing it had the lowest pressure of any storm that hit the country, and I wasn't sure exactly what does that mean, and why does it make it so much more dangerous?
Well, with the lower pressure, it means you have a stronger storm. So this one, and they've got some preliminary data right now, came on shore with a central pressure of 931 millibars. That doesn't mean a lot. But if you were to take that same pressure and put it into a storm closer, down in the tropics, that would be equivalent to a Category 5. No problem. Now, when they get up here, they can have those low pressures, but because the wind field is so much larger, it's just not quite as strong. But this one came in at sustained winds of 165 kilometers an hour, which is equivalent to a Cat 2. This is a post-tropical cyclone, but it still had a lot of tropical characteristics. So it had a tropical punch, but a wind field, just absolutely massive wind field compared to, say, a hurricane down on the Gulf Coast or in Florida. And that's what we experienced. It just went on and on and on. And most of the time these storms come in, and they're gone out of the Maritimes quite quickly. This one came in, and it reminded me so much, actually, of tropical cyclones because, it just was relentless. It just wouldn't stop. And I was shocked. I was just absolutely shocked on this one.
Normally, storms either come up through the Gulf of Mexico, and Hazel was one of the exceptions. It moved so quickly, it hit Toronto, and it was still a hurricane. But normally, they kind of die out over the land. Or they go up the Atlantic coast, and then they just go out to sea before they get to Canada. Now, obviously, there are exceptions, and there have been a number of them over the years. But what brought this storm and made that left turn instead of going out to sea? Why did that happen?
Well, I mean, I can start a nice lecture that'll take about an hour on dynamics of the atmosphere. But really what it was how the fronts moved across North America. And actually the front that drew it in, I was actually chasing thunderstorms in and around southern Ontario on that front, quite literally flew over that front to Halifax. And then that front is what drew the storm into the Maritimes. But yeah, you know, it was just an unprecedented storm to come in on that angle and just sort of just sit there. As I said, it was just absolutely amazing. The absolute field of destruction that it caused.
Now, the average person should not chase thunderstorms because they could be very dangerous. You know what to look for and how to get out of the way. Do you have any advice for us for next summer? Maybe we're not past the thunderstorms yet. I hope so. But what do you look for when a storm is coming your way to say, this is dangerous, I should get underground?
Biggest danger in thunderstorms is always lightning. So thunder roars go indoors. I mean, that's really like our biggest thing. The chances of you seeing a tornado are extraordinarily low. They really are. They're very rare, as much as, you know, my TV show shows them, you know, going after thunderstorms. What you don't see is the many, many hundreds of hours I spend sitting around with my feet up on the dashboard waiting for something. So we always say shelter is the best thing. Thunder roars, go indoors. Make sure you're going to be safe.
Thank you, Mark. Great to talk to you.
My pleasure. Good to talk to you too, Bill.
I'll be watching you. Mark Robinson, a severe weather expert, educator, storm chaser with Weather Network based in Toronto. The Morning Rush, Bill Carroll.
This is The Morning Rush with Bill Carroll on News Talk 580 CFRA. Share your opinion now. Text us at 580-580. Please include your name and where you're texting from. Standard text rates may apply.
Congratulations, Alanis Morissette. Massey Hall on the weekend was inducted into the Canadian Songwriters Hall of Fame. Saturday night, place was packed. Good for her. Man, oh man, she's written some big, big songs. That was awesome. Daniel Lanvoie, great songwriter, also a producer. People like U2 from Hamilton, he was inducted. David Foster, doesn't need an introduction, he was inducted. And you know who I'm really happy to see? Jim Vallance. Jim Vallance inducted to the Songwriters Hall of Fame. Katie, do you have any idea who that is?
Sorry,
PJ, how about you? You're the DJ.
No.
No idea.
I guarantee you know a dozen songs he's written. Jim Vallance, who was the drummer in a great Canadian band called Prism, went on to write songs with, among other people, the guy who wrote this. Play it, PJ. Jim Vallance, co-writer of many of Bryan Adams' hits. Great songwriting partnership. So congratulations to Bryan Adams as well, who was ushered into the Canadian Songwriters Hall of Fame. While I'm talking about songwriters, one of the great Canadian songwriters all time, Tom Cochran. And I promised him I'd give him a plug. He was going to come on and join us at 8 this morning, but the show went to late last night. He's on a tour right now, and he's at Centerpoint Theater tomorrow night. And I asked him, do you still have some tickets available? He said, yeah, there are a few. Centerpoint Theater in Nepean tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Tom Cochran is in town. All right, I have to do a quick sales feature here as well. I just heard the commercial for this. This kind of sounds like fun. The big whiskey event. Whiskey Ottawa Festival gets underway this weekend. And Philip Dangerfield is president of Whiskey Ottawa Experience and is on the line right now. Good morning, Philip.
Good morning. How are we doing this morning?
Good. Well, I hate to disappoint you, but I'm the only Scottish person on the planet who doesn't drink scotch.
Well, you know, that's allowed. You know, one thing about any kind of beverage, you drink what you enjoy, right?
I'm just not a drinker at all, but I have been to a few whiskey tasting, and I'm surprisingly good palate. I'm pretty good at picking them out.
So you're wasting your talents.
Yeah, if I could drink it without getting drunk, I probably I probably drink more. But I'll tell you, my dad, although I was told by a whiskey tasting expert from Scotland, my dad's doing it all wrong. He would take the whiskey, put it in his mouth, swirl it around, keep it there for like 2 minutes because he loved it. Then he'd swallow it down. Apparently, I was told you're supposed to let it trickle down across your tongue to get the best flavor. Is he doing it wrong? Was he doing it wrong, or am I doing it wrong?
Well, you know, there's always the traditional way of doing these things, but then there's the way that the person enjoys them, right? You know, because there's the nosing and there's the trickling, but some people like to hold that, the flavors and the aromas in their mouth for a while before they swallow them. So it's just like the actual consumption. You know, if it's whiskey or a vodka or a gin, people drink what they enjoy to drink. Right? And with whiskey, you know, you've got the ryes from Canada, you know, the bourbons from the States, you know, the single malts from Ireland, Scotland, places like that. Now we have whiskeys from all around the world. So it's really broadened our available scopes, right?
So. Yeah, and whiskeys come with all, even scotch, I mean, comes with all kinds of different flavors, right? It's not all one thing. And if you're good at it, you can really tell how it was cured and the kind of soil it was in. But do you feature whiskeys from around the world?
Yes. Yeah. This year, actually, we've got three brand new ones coming in. One from Switzerland, the Seven Seals. We have an Indian, and we have a new Japanese whiskey as well that we haven't had before, along with all the traditional, you know, types of whiskeys that we've had in the past. Many new labels, though. We have found that throughout the last couple of years, there's been always these little challenges here and there, and other things have popped up, and some new whiskey companies have matured now, and they're out in the market that weren't out in the market before. So we've got a great selection. I think we're just over 100 different whiskeys on the floor for the event on this Saturday.
So Whiskey Ottawa Experience 2022 is this weekend coming up, as you just mentioned, on Saturday. How do I get tickets to this?
Well, whiskeyottawa.ca is the simplest way, right on our website. You'll see there is master classes, which is there's a selection of six that people can go to at the Alt Hotel on Friday night. They run about an hour apiece. They sit and listen to a brand ambassador about a particular whiskey or whiskeys, and learn more about the history and that of that particular whiskey. And then the main event is at the Canadian War Museum on Saturday evening.
What a nice backdrop.
Oh, especially, you know, we're down in the Breton Room with all of the big equipment, right? And for a whiskey show, it's probably one of the more unique backdrops ever, you know? But that starts at 7 on Saturday night. And, you know, we still have some tickets for sale. We sold out our VIP masterclass, which we usually do, which is great. But we're still looking for some support. Get over the line after the last couple of years.
Yeah, people are not quite as used to going out as they used to be. But yeah, a good whiskey tasting. Philip, if that doesn't come out the door, nothing will.
Well, that's the thing. And we have noticed, though, that people are coming out a little more, you know. And yeah, we've all been sheltered at home, but a nice warm whiskey. Fall is here now, and that's one of the reasons we do the Whiskey Ottawa show at this time of year, because it also is whiskey time at the LCBO. It's fall, and we can get everybody to come out, have a nice couple of whiskeys, enjoy some time, learn a little bit. We usually recommend to take a look at the website, pick out the ones that you're not familiar with. And that way, when you come, you focus on the ones you're not familiar with, because the opportunity of a show like this is to try things before you actually have to go out and buy it, right?
Makes sense, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why taste the ones you buy all the time?
Well, exactly. You know,
what's your website before I let you go here?
Yeah, whiskeyottawa.ca.
Thanks for joining us, Philip. Appreciate it.
All righty. You have a great morning.
You too.
Cheers now. Bye.
Cheers. Good way to end a whiskey tasting interview. Philip Dangerfield, President, Whiskey Ottawa Experience. The Morning Rush, good morning.
Trending today.
So one-hit wonders are trending, Katie, or are you just trying to embarrass me?
No, they are, because I don't know if you know this, but yesterday was actually one of those weird national whatever days. It was National One-Hit Wonder Day.
Oh, it'll probably only last a year.
That's what I'm saying. Well, it'll be great to see if next year, if this is still kicking around, if this is still a national ordeal. But,
did I steal your punchline there? I'm sorry.
No, no, don't worry about it. It's all good.
We have the same mind.
I know, we're working together. It's awesome. But yeah, so I just wanted to pull up a couple. So TikTok and Twitter and Instagram, they're kind of rehashing some of these one-hit wonders and talking about them and seeing where they went, if they did anything after. But I thought it'd be kind of fun to play a little game with you and PJ to see if you could remember some of the artist names, the year it came out, or even the song title.
All right, PJ, you in?
Always.
Okay, here we go. I know who that is because it was a song he wrote for a European Song Contest, and I interviewed him, and he is the son of the great Randy Bachman. That is Tal Bachman.
Correct.
Did you know that one, PJ?
I did not. I did not know that was Randy Bachman's kid.
There you go. One of his, he's got 12.
So that okay. That one came out in 1999, so that's not the 80s. I stayed away from it for you.
I met him at the time. Maybe that was an unfair advantage.
Oh, no, that's awesome.
Okay.
Next
Give
up.
Me another one.
Closing time. Open all the doors and let you out into the world.
Easy, easy.
PJ, hit me with it.
No, let's see if Bill knows it.
Okay.
I know the song, but
Ooh.
I don't know if I know the name of the band because they really weren't a very good band, apparently.
Yeah. This is one of the most requested last songs of the night for weddings.
Really?
Yeah. Out of the probably 50, 60 weddings I did this summer, this was probably 50 of the times, 45 maybe.
Okay. I had the unfair advantage of having interviewed Tal Bachman. You're the wedding DJ. So who is it?
Closing Time by Semisonic.
Where are they from?
Who cares?
They were an American band.
Yeah.
But okay.
Late 90s, I would say.
One each.
1998. And then we'll do one more for a tiebreaker here. This one's hard.
While he was scheming, I was dreaming in the beamer, just steaming. Can't believe that I call my men cheating. So I found another way to make him pay for
anything?
Ooh. Is this a Canadian song?
I don't believe so, but let me fact check that for you.
DJ?
No clue. DJ? No clue. This is not a requested wedding song.
This one is kind of going popular on TikTok again nowadays, being used for sounds, for audios and everything like that. But this is Blue Cantrell, and it was in 2001. So this is one of the newer ones, I guess. But yeah, I'm surprised I stumped you. Yeah.
Well, now you got, we still don't have the tie broken. Do you have one more?
Yeah, I guess I got one more. Let's do it. Let's go.
No. When you said you felt so happy you could die.
She tricked
That's
us
a depressing
with that one.
Song.
She tricked us with that one because the chorus isn't in there.
Any clue?
Yeah, that would have helped. What's the chorus? Do you remember?
You're just somebody that I used to know.
Oh, PJ, we're singing again here.
Yeah. I used to know. Yeah.
There was a Canadian band that was famous a few years ago, maybe 10 years ago, because they covered this song. There were 7 of them, and they played one guitar. That band was called Walk Off the Earth. This is Goche. Somebody
yeah.
I used to know.
Yes, correct. Good job, PJ. PJ for the
win. PJ, you won.
Yay.
Perfect.
Well, I would hope so as a DJ that you would win that one. But that sounds like another 80s song. Was that an 80s song?
Go. No, actually, that's 2011. That was like one of the more recent ones that I pulled for today.
No, I don't think that's right.
Yeah.
No.
I have it as 2011 at least.
Yeah, it says here. I'm just Googling. I should have Googled earlier.
I know.
July 2011 released.
I
Sounds
felt
older
like
than that.
The cover came out then.
Maybe it was
Covers
soon
usually
after.
Don't come out first.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was sort of fun. And then one more just random as we go here.
Okay.
Because you had a bad day, you take one down, you sing a song.
Another Canadian, and I met him. This was used as a Coke commercial, I think, in France. And that's what it gained traction. It's a Canadian. Was released, went nowhere, became, a Coca-Cola commercial in Europe. It's Canada's Daniel Powder.
Correct. Good job.
We're tied again. Tied again. We'll have to settle it another day, another way. It's the Morning Rush, Bill Carroll.
This is the Morning Rush with Bill Carroll on News Talk 580 CFRA. Agree or disagree, we want to hear from you. Text us at 580-580. Please include your name and where you're texting from. Standard text rates may apply.
Homes washed into the ocean, torn apart, trees down everywhere. The number of people without power in Atlantic Canada right now measured in the tens or hundreds of thousands. It was really quite a storm. Historic storm hit over the weekend. Angela Forgeron is a former National Post reporter living in this part of the world now, living down east, as they say, in Halifax. And she went out of her way to find a good cell phone spot this morning so she could join us. Thanks for doing that, Angela. We appreciate it. How are you this morning?
Hi, Bill. Good morning. Doing well here today in Cole Harbour, Nova Scotia.
Well, you're in Cole Harbour. Okay. How scary was it? As scary as it looked?
It was indeed. You know, I moved back to Nova Scotia with my family in 2019. I was born here and left to go to Toronto for 24 years. And this was actually the third hurricane that we've been through since we've arrived back a few years ago. And this, it was basically like sleeping on a train overnight when Fiona was going through Friday night into Saturday. The house was shaking. You could definitely feel it in the bed. Everything was moving outside. Things were just flying through the air. And of course, it was dark, so you couldn't really see what was happening, which sort of creates a bit of anxiety when you're not sure what's going on outside when everything is so dark out there.
Cole Harbour is across the inlet, I guess, from Halifax. Am I right?
It is. We're about 15 kilometers from downtown Halifax. On the other side, there are two bridges that span Halifax-Dartmouth. So we are on the Dartmouth side of the bridges.
So still pretty intense when that storm hit you.
Yes, absolutely. I actually grew up about 7 kilometers from where I live now in a town called Eastern Passage that is right on the ocean. It's the entrance to Halifax Harbour. And so we definitely feel the force of the power of the ocean and the winds when hurricanes come through here. Even though we're in Cole Harbour, it's a bit more sheltered than living in the city in Halifax, it was still pretty significant. And I guess, you know, driving around this morning just to come to find a good location where I could talk to you on, because our cell reception is still pretty poor here, just to see, there's a lot of damage all throughout the area. A lot of older trees have come down. I saw a tree that was still on top of a car. Lots of debris all over the roads. Lots of things blew around. But luckily, you know what? We came away from this with just material damage. So that's what's really important here. Everything can be replaced or repaired. So I think we actually came away from it, at least in my area, quite well compared to what we're seeing in the news in Cape Breton and across Port of Basque, Newfoundland, and even Charlottetown.
What does one do when the winds start to pick up and there's a hurricane and these winds are going to blow for hours? Do you hide in the house somewhere? Do you go to a basement? Where did you ride it out?
Yep, that's exactly it. You stay inside. It's not a time to be a bold storm chaser and get out there because you just don't know what's going to fly. We stayed in the house. And unlike previous storms, our power went out, our hydro, as it's known in Ontario, went out quite quickly. Within probably 30 minutes of the winds really picking up on Friday night, we had lost power. So, you know, you're there in the dark and the cold and the quiet, just sort of listening to see what's going on. We stayed on the main floor of our home. We have a two-level home, so we did sleep upstairs that night. But again, it was shaking. I was sort of looking up ways to minimize the feeling of shaking in our home. And I read that if you start closing doors everywhere, it increases the structural rigidity. So I was going around closing doors on the second floor of our home just so the house didn't feel like it was shaking as much as it was.
Who got to sleep on the windy side of the house?
actually, my husband and I were on the windy side. We're on a lake in Cole Harbour, Nova Scotia, and the wind was full force hitting the back of our home. Just the power, the sheer power, if you've never gone through a hurricane or a tropical storm or a cyclone, the power of the wind is just so incredible. You realize how powerful Mother Nature is, and it's just not the time to go outside.
So does it come as in a sort of a constant, or does it come with high winds and then even bigger gusts? Because I'm wondering if at any time you feel like the windows are just going to be blown in or the roof is going to lift off. Yeah, that stuff has to go through your mind.
Absolutely. It's pretty sustained, but there are definitely gusts that pick up and you're like, ooh, that was a big one. And growing up in Eastern Passage, we lived there before moving to Cole Harbour a few years ago. And living right on the ocean there, you could see the windows in the house. It's almost like the windows were breathing. They sort of moved in and out. So that's sort of terrifying. So, of course, when you're around big windows, you're going to move away from those windows and go to like a basement or a room with smaller windows. But just to see the power, and, you know, it proves how strong windows really are, too, when they can move in and out.
No kidding.
And sort of flex. But indeed, this was a very strong hurricane. And you know, right up until the hurricane came through, it was sort of shifting paths. So we were sort of watching with anticipation where the hurricane might go. And we knew it was going towards Cape Breton, and that it might make landfall in Cape Breton. It did so in Canso, just on the mainland of Nova Scotia. But of course, Cape Breton, you know, a lot of devastation there in Cape Breton.
How long did that go on? I mean, how many hours of those intense winds did you face?
6 to 7 hours of intense wind. And then we woke up the next morning. And, of course, that's when you get to see what it looks like outside. We were lucky. We just lost a portion of a tree in our backyard. Of course, we live in a newer development, so there are newer trees, which tend to flex more in the wind. It's the bigger, older trees. You know, the photos that you may be seeing in Halifax and Charlottetown that come down and take power lines out. So we're fortunate that though we don't have big trees, it didn't cause too much damage where we are. We're still without power. We've been without power, of course, since Friday night. It looks like it may come back on tomorrow night, Tuesday night, around 11 is the current projection. But lots of people here have generators, where Nova Scotians typically are prepared for anything. So you walk around the neighborhood and it's just the hum of generators going everywhere, just to try to keep your fridge alive and maybe power up your phone just to stay in touch with family. But it's, it's most of the schools are closed today throughout all of Nova Scotia as power remains off and schools are assessing structural damage to the province. We're just
sounds like what we lived through here at the beginning of the summer with our derecho, but times, 6 hours of intensity. But I will just warn you, we heard lots of times our power will be back tomorrow midnight, 2 days later, 3 days later, you might still be waiting. I hope not. Is the weather cold there, or can you get through the night okay?
The weather's pretty good. It's 17 degrees right now. And yesterday, the day after a hurricane, typically is all the clouds have parted, the sky is blue. It was actually an outstanding day yesterday for cleanups. Everybody was out everywhere cleaning up. Neighbors are helping each other clean up branches and debris. And all over social media, you see posts of people just trying to help people, especially seniors who might not be able to get out and take down trees themselves or cut them up. People are just offering to come around with a chainsaw. Anywhere anybody needs help, you see lots of support for neighbors and communities everywhere. Everybody's super helpful. This morning, however, woke up to quite a significant thunder and lightning storm going through the region, which is not common for Nova Scotia. I know living in southern Ontario, that was very common living there, but we typically don't get a lot of thunder and lightning. So we came through with that. And of course, it's still hurricane season here in Nova Scotia. So we're always looking ahead to see what could be coming next step down the line and hoping for the best and preparing for, the worst and just getting through.
Well, great storytelling. I almost feel like I wrote it out with you, except I can't believe you went to bed and slept. Not me.
Yeah, we have. we have an 8-year-old son who was determined to stay up the whole night. He did pretty well. I think he was awake until about 2 a.m. Just was so excited and energized to know what was going to happen. But that's it. You kind of, it's dark and there's no power and you're like, okay, I guess it's time to try to doze off and see what we can do. And of course you're being awoken by those gusts of wind, but you just, you need to get some rest in there too. Cause you know, the next day is going to be filled with cleanup and you're not really sure how much cleanup you're going to be doing.
Thank you, Angela. Really appreciate this.
Thank you, Bill. Great to see you today.
Angela Forgeron, former National Post reporter, now living in Nova Scotia, rode out the storm, the morning rush. Good morning, Doc.
Good morning, Bill.
I think my colleagues are, I think I'm kind of out on a limb here and maybe a little crazy, but the COVID-19 booster shot is now available to all adults in Ontario starting today. I've been pointing out that while this new vaccine is probably better than the one we already had at fighting the version of COVID that's out there right now, it's not the same one as is available in the U.S., which is targeted more directly to Omicron 4 and 5. The one we're getting is Omicron 2, I think, right? 1 and 2?
1,
which
yes.
Is not circulating in Ontario anymore. It's not the dominant strain. I'm not crazy about that, right?
No, you're not crazy. I think what they are trying to, at least what the public health officials are saying, is just because of Health Canada's decision, they're trying to make this as palatable as possible, but it's still putting lipstick on the porcine mammal. So, you know, you're still basically saying that, well, you know, you have the BA1 component of it, and it should provide you with adequate protection against BA4 and BA5. But so if you use that logic, then wouldn't it even be better to have a vaccine that actually is BA4 and BA5?
Oh, yeah.
Considering that BA5 is what is circulating mostly in the U.S. and in Canada, you have a closer match. I would think that that would be preferable. So I think they're trying to make the best out of the situation by saying that if you get this particular vaccine, because the track record in the past has been that even when you had the original vaccine and the match wasn't as great anymore because of the variants, it still worked, still prevented hospitalizations, that this will do the same thing. But that's fine. I mean, I you can't argue with that particular logic, but you can extend that logic and say, okay, but if you have a vaccine that provides you and confers even more protection because it matches better, wouldn't that be preferable in your armamentarium to be able to protect people? So that's how I look at it. And for that reason, I'm going to go to the U.S. and get the BA4 and BA5.
We're doing a road trip, Doc.
Yeah, yeah.
So, okay. So what's available today is the one that the Americans said was not good enough. So they didn't want it. They told Pfizer and Moderna, back to the drawing board, give us one for BA4 and 5, which they've done. We've purchased the other ones, and if the media doesn't want to push the federal government on that, there's nothing I can do. I've raised it. I've done my job as a member of the media. There's nothing else I can do. What do we do now, though? Let's say you just got a month ago, because we were being told, get whatever vaccine's available. So you got your fourth shot a month ago. They're saying wait 3 months to get this new bivalent version. Would you wait 3 months, or is there any harm in doing it right away?
So the interesting part about this is that sometimes if you wait a little bit longer, you'll have a better reaction with the subsequent vaccine. So you get a better response. So it's not too close together. They're saying 2 to 3 months. I mean, it's some public health officials are saying 2 months. Others are saying 3. So anywhere between there. So what I would say is that, let's just say, you know, 2.5 months. Say, let's take the average. But 2 to 3 months is pretty much what they're recommending in between. So if someone had it in June, for example, or July, you're getting close to the time where you would be getting it now or sometime in the middle of October.
And what if you want to make that road trip down to the U.S. and get the even better shot and you're a month or two out from... In my case, it wasn't even the bivalent. I got the original shot probably 5 or 6 weeks ago. Would you wait, or would you go get BA4 and 5 as we're heading into the fall and you can see the wastewater numbers? It's circulating more and more every day. We're starting to see a new wave. What would you do?
So I would say in the next couple of weeks, if you're at the 8-week mark, you know, to head on down. I you know, again, you sort of have to balance what the risk is in the local environment. So if we're seeing increased rates of BA4 and BA5, I think you'd want to get the vaccine, you know, at the 2 month mark. If it was not very present, you know, you had low levels, your wastewater levels are low, you probably could wait the extra month. So it's always a balance, right? You want to be protected and have a bit of a more advantage than just waiting around.
Yeah, it seems very likely to me now, if we're going to vaccinate people with our lesser bivalent, that we're not going to see BA4 and 5 for half a year at least.
Yeah, the reason Health Canada didn't approve it is because they wanted human testing. But again, and I heard you earlier this morning, and I agree that, you know, you have the flu vaccine that doesn't need to be tested anymore. The process in making it is always the same. Similarly, the only difference between the bivalent vaccine and the original is that they simply changed the recipe a little bit to instruct the body to make the proteins that match BA4 and BA5. It's the same process. There's nothing different about that.
So there's no reason this vaccine should be more or less dangerous or that should react any differently than the previous one.
It's the same process. And you know, they did make sure that when it's used, that it produces those particular type of spike proteins. So again, I just don't get it. I think Health Canada dropped the ball.
I'm glad to hear somebody else say it. Someone who actually has a medical degree too. That's helpful. Thank you, Doc.
You're welcome, Bill.
Dr. Barry Dworkin, host of Sunday House Call, Sunday afternoons at 3 on News Talk 580 CFRA.
80 CFRA's $1,000 Minute. Brought to you by Alpine Credits. Homeowners get approved.
Good morning, Deborah. How are things in Nepean this morning?
Good thing.
Excellent. Okay, I'm going to quickly play the rules and some reminders here. Here we go.
10 all questions right. a minute, $10 per correct answer. All 10 gives you $1,000. Have to take your first answer. You can say pass. We'll go back if there's time. You got it?
Got it.
Question number one. Name the storm that just hit Atlantic Canada.
Fiona.
Which TV series did Kate mention earlier today on the show that she's watching right now?
Instant Dream Home.
When can Ontarians 18 plus start getting the second rate bivalent COVID-19 booster?
Today.
Where can you stream the TV series Harrow?
Pass. Oh,
which member of provincial parliament did we have on the air earlier this morning?
Goldie Gamari.
Which province was Angela Forgeron calling in from earlier?
Nova Scotia.
What was the semisonic one-hit wonder called?
Closing time.
Who is the severe weather expert, educator, storm chaser we spoke to earlier?
Mark Robinson.
Who co-wrote Summer of 69 with Brian Adams?
Jim Vallance.
What was Tal Bachman's one-hit wonder?
I didn't hear the...
Tal Bachman.
Oh, Tal Bachman.
Ran out of time anyway.
You did so good, though, Deborah. I'm feeling confident today.
Yeah, I feel like the questions were a little long, so if you could answer it, I'd give it to you. How
okay.
She's so high.
All right.
All
let's
right.
See how you did.
We'll mark it down. All right, so let's run through them here. So what was the name of the storm currently hitting Atlantic Canadian coast right now? You said Hurricane Fiona. What TV series did I mention on earlier today that I'm watching? You said Instant Dream Home. When can Ontario 18 and plus start getting the sub-bivalent COVID-19?
Second rate bivalent. The Americans have a newer one.
Yeah, you said today. Where can you stream the TV series Harrow? You passed. Do we take her answer if she said it quickly after? I'm just verifying there.
I didn't hear her say it. Did you hear her say it?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, she said it.
So are we going to take... I
don't know. I didn't hear it. So
okay. Well,
how quickly after?
Okay. Well.
Didn't she pass?
Yeah, but she immediately said Disney Plus.
We can go through it and come back to it if we need to.
No, I'll take that.
Okay, we'll take it. Okay, so you said Disney Plus. It was correct. What member of provincial parliament do we have on air today? You said Goldie Gamari. What province was Angela Forgeron calling in from today? You said Nova Scotia. What was the semi-sonic one-hit wonder? You said Closing Time. Who was the severe weather expert, educator, and storm chaser we had on today? You said Mark Robinson. Who co-wrote Summer of 69 with Bryan Adams? You said Jim Vallance. And then last one that Bill gave you just to get in there, what was the Tal Bachwin one-hit wonder? You said She's So High.
Answer right there, Deborah.
How you feeling?
Good. I'm scared there for a while, but
no, that was my first. That you were my first winner of the $1,000 minute. So I'm super excited. Thanks for coming on today, Deborah.
Well, thank you.
Congratulations, Deborah.
Thanks.
The PN's richest citizen, Deborah. $1,000 just floating around with nothing to do. It's 8:31. It's the Morning Rush. Good morning. I'm Bill Carroll, and we have Bill's best binges, some pretty decent TV show ideas coming up next, The Morning Rush.